Vision 2020 UK.
Welcome to this edition of the Vision 2020 UK podcast. In this edition of the podcast, presented by me, John Wellsman, we focus on dementia and its relationship with vision impairment. And speak to
Paul Ursel. I'm an ophthalmology consultant at Epsom St Helier Hospital, and I've been down there for 15 years.
And I'm Matt Broom. I'm the UK Operations Manager for Vision 2020 UK. So I have my finger in many pies, which one of which is dementia and sight loss.
And start by asking the question, what is dementia?
Yes, which is a huge question, obviously. As a general principle, dementia is any cognitive imbalance caused by the brain being reduced over time, and we don't necessarily know why, but we know there are reductions in brain capacity, atrophy of the brain, as it's called, in various different parts, which cause various different impairments.
Given that this podcast is about vision impairment, why is it so important to draw dementia and vision impairment together?
The thing is that you've got various ways of approaching this. So there's lots of different types of dementia. So dementia is an umbrella term, absolutely, and it covers all sorts of different diseases in the brain, all lead to sort of loss of function. And the commonest one we all know about is Alzheimer's, which means you don't remember things very well. You lose your memory. So the dementia can cause effects on the part of the brain you see with as well. So you can get different types of dementias, cause memory loss and problems with your sight. So there's a thing called posterior cortical atrophy or dementia with Lewy bodies, both of which cause problems with your sight.
And what sort of problems would those be? How would they manifest those for the end user?
So the one to remember, think about first of all, is posterior cortical atrophy, which is rather than affecting the memory parts of the brain, the same process affects the sight parts of the brain. So you get visual Alzheimer's. So you look at something, you can see it, but you can't work out what it is. Mm-hmm. So that's a banana. No, it's not. It's a cup. So that's the easiest way to remember it. So the Alzheimer's itself can cause problems with your vision. Alzheimer's affects people who are elderly. So the older you get, more likely you are to get Alzheimer's. So if you take a load of people who are 80 years old, there's a bit more Alzheimer's than a bunch of people who are 60 years old. Mm-hmm. And the same thing happens with visual impairment. So as people get older, they get all sorts of other illnesses with their eyes that can or cannot be fixed. They end up with slightly higher chance of vision impairment as you get older. So you've got two types of people. You've got the ones who have got Alzheimer's and then get vision impairment, because they're all the same age group. Then you've got the people who've got vision impairment who then develop Alzheimer's.
And would you say that the issues for vision impaired people who also have Alzheimer's or dementia in general are very specific, or are they quite common across a range of other degenerative conditions?
I think there's an awful lot of similarities, because we've got a lot of degenerative conditions that go together, as Paul was saying, with ageing. So I think we're talking an awful lot about the same populations. The trouble is that people with eye health problems and dementia is they probably have other things as well. So you've got multimorbidities. There's also problems with getting around, probably with heart conditions and high blood pressure, etc., that come with those sort of things. I think this is part of the problem, is that what you get is also this diagnostic overshadowing. So if somebody has one condition, we don't talk about another one. So something Paul and I have talked about in the past is the fact that people with dementia may not get their cataracts taken out, etc., because people don't perceive it as worthwhile. They already have dementia, why would we bother? And it's not just a problem with the person involved, it's also a problem with their carers quite a lot of the time. So they don't necessarily see there's any point in hassling that person anymore or doing any more work with them, because actually they've got enough problems, so leave them alone, really.
Yeah. And how prevalent is dementia in the vision impaired population? Obviously, we estimates from the Royal Institute of Blind People estimate 2 million blind or partially sighted people in the UK. What's the population who have got dementia?
It's a very difficult question to answer. The figures we use are not totally clear, but what we tend to quote is there's about 2 million people in the UK mm-hmm. who've got sight impairment. And there's about 850,000 people in the UK who've got a diagnosis of dementia. And if you put two and two together and where the two groups overlap, we think there's about 120,000 people in the UK who have got both visual impairment and dementia. But we don't know for sure, and it's very difficult to be exact. What we do know is that, as we've just alluded to, both problems happen as you get older, mm-hmm. and with the baby boomers coming into, who are a large bubble of our population, born after the Second World War, they're now starting to hit their 60s, 70s and 80s. And we know that the number of people in the 60s, 70s and 80s over the next 10, 20 years is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. So whatever number we know about dementia and sight loss, there's only one way it's going to go over the next 10 or 15 years, is there's going to be more people with both.
Yeah.
I think as well, people are living longer, and therefore the older you get, the more elderly people are. The number of people in the community now over the age of 100 is much more than there was 20, 30 years ago. So we're all living longer, which is great and excellent. That's what modern healthcare does. But then the chance of getting dementia and start getting sight loss when you get into those parts of our lives are much higher. So we know that at the moment we've probably got about 120,000 people in the UK, and that's going to go up at some stage in the next few years.
And what are some of the day-to-day challenges which, and you've sort of alluded to those, Paul, but can we expand on some of those day-to-day challenges that someone who has dementia and has a vision impairment, or maybe the carers who support them, face on a daily basis, to give us an idea of how it impacts on people's lives?
I think there's a social aspect to it, which is that people with dementia already have the issues most of the time, as Paul has already mentioned, with not remembering things. And that's then added to by then sight loss. Obviously, if you can't remember where your house is or how to get around your house, it's significantly more difficult if you've got sight loss anyway. So I think there's an awful lot of things that go with that. And there's also the issues with posterior cortical atrophy, is that you suddenly don't recognise the things you've always recognised. So you may not be forgetting what they are, but you're now not recognising how to get around, and there's that much more confusion that goes with it. And therefore there's all the stress-related issues that come with that, and depression and everything else. And that's, again, not just for the person with the Alzheimer's or the sight loss, but also for their carer, because they're suddenly living with somebody who they don't necessarily know anymore. Mm. And that can be very difficult, and there can be anger issues and all those other things that come with it. So I think there's an awful lot of things that are outside the absolute diagnosis, but very pertinent to the people involved.
And interestingly enough, you both picked up on something which made me think about this topic, that you've mentioned that sometimes the issue is to do with someone's visual memory, but we could easily, couldn't we, in general, think that that's just a general sort of, this person's going a bit gaga, they're not remembering things in general, rather than actually it being a specific issue related to their visual memory rather than their sort of general memory?
Yes, I mean, I've been working with Alzheimer's now for the last few years, and my memory, even though I'm in my 50s, is getting worse, and I think it's contagious. I keep thinking I'm getting Alzheimer's. So we all get an inability to remember things as we get older. That's normal human behaviour, and certainly normal human ageing. But what all dementias are is an increased to an acceptable and pathological level in your ability to remember things, really. Mm-hmm. And that then leads to all these other problems. Whether that's your ability to recognise things and work out what it is you're looking at, that's a big part of it. It's quite a small amount of the dementia workload. There's about probably 10% of people have got that. Mm. And the bulk of people have other forms of dementia, mainly Alzheimer's or vascular dementia. But they still will have problems in terms of, if you can't see where you're going and you can't remember where you've been, it doubles the problem. We know that people with sight loss have a much higher incidence of falls. Yeah. You trip over things, you can't see where you're going. Mm. And people with dementia, again, have a higher incidence of falls. So 2 + 2 = 4.
Yeah. And if we're talking about things like dementia with Lewy bodies, we're also talking about Parkinson's-like syndromes as well. Mm. So again, you lose the ability to pick up and hold things, you lose the ability to coordinate properly, and again, you come down to the falls episodes that we're talking about. Mm. So I think there's a lot of that. I think there's also the changes in personality, though, to go back to that for a second, is that you find that with certain forms of dementia where people don't maintain the person they were. Mm. And so if to understand that from a carer's point of view or from a clinician's point of view is hard, because you're trying to get somebody to wear their glasses, as a for instance or whatever, but they don't remember they even need glasses, that's a hard thing to make people understand. So it's that ongoing care and understanding how to support both sides is very important.
And for healthcare and social care professionals who don't necessarily have the specialisms in dementia, is there training for them? Is there enough support for them to actually pick up the signs and actually support people appropriately?
There's an awful lot of training that's going on in dementia, and there's an awful lot of training that's going on in sight loss. There's not much training specifically to sight loss and dementia. There are online learning tools that are produced by UCL, where you can go on a virtual reality course for 4 weeks, which both Matt and I have done, where you get taught about sight loss and dementia, which is a very useful thing at UCL.
Faces of Dementia.
Faces of Dementia, that's right. So that's a very useful thing for clinicians to do. And in many respects, the first and most important element to all of this is awareness. You as a clinician have got to be aware that, you know what, maybe there's a problem with their vision with this patient with Alzheimer's, or maybe this patient who's come to see you can't see very well actually might have something going on with the memory. So it's awareness, and once that awareness happens, and then that's the key to starting out with this. So I think the take-home message for most clinicians, if you're listening to the podcast, is trying to make the connection between what's going on with the individual in front of you and the awareness that actually there may be a sight or a memory issue in terms of what's causing that problem.
And I think just to actually use some words Paul's said before, is that people coming into clinic, you weren't necessarily aware that PCA existed, for instance, posterior corticobulbar atrophy. So therefore you treat somebody's eyes and then find out it makes absolutely no difference to their ability to see. And I think that's a hard learned lesson to learn, isn't it, really?
Well, I'm going to say it's very common, but...
which brings me on to my next question, really. What are the challenges for, if we stick to our sort of core topic of vision impairment, what are the challenges of making an assessment of someone's vision impairment, maybe for optometrists, for healthcare professionals, for rehabilitation staff, when they're looking at assessing someone's vision impairment and obviously that person clearly has dementia as well?
It's a very common misconception, I think, and certainly one that most of us had, I did, and I think that a lot of people do, is that if someone's got dementia, well, they can't do it, and they just can't do things. There's some recent research that's come out that shows that actually patients with dementia, most of them can have a sight test and an optometrist, either in the high street or a domiciliary visit. At least 80% can get a pair of glasses prescribed for them by an optometrist. In terms of getting people to see down a vision chart, which is a very crucial part to all of our eye health care, because that governs an awful lot of how we deliver care, again, an awful lot more people than we think can do it. If a patient can't get down and read a chart off the wall, then a Snellen chart or an EDTRS chart, then the next thing to do is a thing called a functional visual assessment. So we need to know that at this point in time, this person can see this. Now, if it's this line on the chart, so be it. But if they can't do the chart, document down what they can see. So this patient is seeing to read, is seeing to get around the house, is seeing the telly, is seeing to feed themselves, etc., etc. So it's called a functional visual assessment.
And is that where rehab staff would do that sort of functional assessment, Matt?
No, I mean that would be the optometrist or the ophthalmologist. The obviously rehab staff, etc., and occupational therapists would then work with that patient that service user and that carer later on. I mean, the assessments are very much done by professionals, obviously, because they have the skills to do it. I think the College of Optometrists have recently done what called the PROVIDE study, which was to do with looking at patients in old people's homes, etc., and looking at how many of them actually had some sort of sight loss. Which is very interesting, because an awful lot of them did, funnily enough. But the assessment of it, as Paul said, is possible. And I think that's another message we have to get out to professionals, is saying that this isn't an impossibility, this is something you should be doing. Because it functionally affects somebody's life. If somebody isn't wearing their glasses or isn't able to see, they are unable to do things that they would be able to do. And their dementia or dementias, whatever, look that much worse because they're not able to see. And I think that's a really important thing to work out, is that actually maybe somebody's got this problem. And it's not just sight loss. Obviously, it's general sensory impairments. We're talking about hearing loss and various other things. But they all come as part of that assessment process. And if people aren't being assessed, this is quite a big issue. And professionals have to recognise that.
And Paul, for you and optometrists and the like, is it easy for you to get out from your office or your shop or wherever you're doing those normal assessments to get to the person's house to sort of maybe do that assessment in a real world situation which those people are familiar with?
They're domiciliary visits by teams of optometrists who are trained in the discipline, can go into most homes and perform eye care tests to a very high standard within an individual's own environment. So an awful lot of the care homes will have optometrists coming in to them doing domiciliary visits. But I would also say that there's an one of our barriers is not getting an eye test. And I think if people don't get an eye test, then nothing really happens. At least if you have an eye test, then we're in with a chance of the rest of the eye care pathway moving forward for you. So it's very important, I think, that we try to get an understanding that if you've got dementia, you're vulnerable and you're not functioning at the level you should be functioning because of the dementia. If you then add in visual impairment, particularly just not wearing the right pair of glasses, you're just compounding those things. So try to get all patients with dementia to have a sight test is a reasonably clear message, I think, that we should try to get over to people, because there's no reason why most of them couldn't, and in a lot of cases it will often make a lot of help for them.
And would that be at the point they go to Boots or Specsavers or the like to have a general eye test, or is that a process that in a sense is kicked off by them visiting you in an eye clinic in a hospital?
No, I mean, I think that coming to me in an eye hospital, I'm only going to see a few of them.
Yeah.
There's so many more people who have just got dementia.
Yeah.
And they need to be having their eyes checked. Because virtually all of the pathways that get into an eye clinic in a hospital, not always, but start off with a trip to the opticians.
Yeah.
So, and I think we've seen this with learning disabilities, which are a very similar group to dementia patients. And we certainly see this in the research that's coming out, that you can an awful lot of people can go to a high street optometrist and have a sight test.
Yeah.
It's not a completely horrible thing to do. And even though you do have some form of memory impairment, some form of dementia, a trip to the optometrist is a very good thing to do.
Are they going to pick up on some of these issues that we've talked about before enough to say that this is not a sight-related issue? I think this is an issue more to do with the person's dementia.
I hear what you're saying. I would turn it around the other way. I think the much more common problem is I'm a dementia patient and I've got something wrong with my vision because I'm not wearing my glasses, or I'm wearing my distance glasses when I should be reading, or vice versa, or I've got cataracts, or I've got a bit of glaucoma. So all the normal eye health checks that an optometrist would be doing are totally prevalent and reasonable to apply to a patient with dementia. And in some respects, these people are more vulnerable and they do need a higher level of intervention because they are functioning at a different level to everybody else. And therefore, intervention is probably something that needs to be discussed with them. The big problem we have is twofold. First of all, it's wearing the correct pair of glasses. So are they up to date? Are they the latest prescription? And are you wearing your reading glasses for reading and your distance glasses for distance? Because if you've got a memory problem and you're at home and you're not sure which pair of glasses to wear and no one else who's looking after you does, that can be a big problem.
Yeah.
The other problem is cataracts. So a large part of these patients are in the cataract age group. They're right in the crosshairs and the window of opportunity for fixing cataracts. And if you can take the cataracts out, you can often make their vision better, and you can probably help with their glass subscription. So it's a double whammy, and it's a very useful thing to do. And we want to try to help as many people in this group of people to get access to care as much as possible.
So we're in the Vision 2020 UK podcast, and we catch you post a meeting associated with dementia and vision impairment. What are some of the specialist tools, which I know you've been working on, to support the whole process of making an assessment of someone with both dementia and vision impairment?
I think there are various, bits and pieces we've done within the committee. So we've produced fact sheets on wearing glasses in dementia and having an eye test in dementia. And also just generally within Vision 2020, of course, we've talked a lot about integrated care and about understanding how a person can go through a sight loss pathway. So from initial diagnosis, etc., I think, to how they actually get support along the way. So you mentioned rehab officers earlier, and one of the groups we'd like to influence, and we do have them on our committee, is rehab officers to talk about how they can support people with dementia and sight loss and what the pathway is for that. To go back to the optometrists, one of the things that the College of Optometrists has done is an awful lot of training of optometrists to talk about how to recognise signs of dementia and sight loss, etc., along the way. So I think there's an awful lot of learning out there that we're certainly encouraging. We had a dementia and sight loss conference in Birmingham where we went all the way from medical research at UCL through to low vision aids that can be provided to people with dementia and sight loss or just with sight loss, clearly. But I think so there's a there's a whole lot of stuff going on that we really want to support, and we really want to understand that the patient service user is at the centre of that. It has to be about that person. It's not about the institutions around.
And that picks up on the integrated person-centred care. Do you want to explain what that is a little more?
Well, that's exactly really what I'm talking about. It's about understanding what a person needs rather than understanding the institutions that that need to change for them. They need to understand how they can work within those institutions to get the care that's necessary. So it's everything from the dementia-friendly communities that the Alzheimer's Society talks about. So you actually understand you're within your community and that community understands dementia. So you have dementia-friendly optometrists, you have dementia-friendly ophthalmologists, you have dementia-friendly orthoptists who work with various different aspects of sight loss. So understanding that people can go through that pathway and be supported along the way. And that moves then into social care. So if somebody has a certificate of vision impairment, they're then registered with their local authority, they can get support from them. And that's not just about getting a blue badge or getting a free TV licence, etc. It's also about the provision of support for them, for their carer, for them to have respite care, etc., etc., along the way. So I think that's a really important thing to actually understand, and there is that pathway, and it's not just medical, it's social as well.
And would the professionals who are supporting that process understand that pathway, or would the end, you know, the carer who's listening to this podcast who is supporting someone with dementia need to be aware of that pathway and know what the integral elements of it are?
I think the pathway is out there. I hope people are aware of it. We've certainly promoted it quite heartily. But it's also joining up those different bits. So, for instance, somebody with dementia may well be supported by an Admiral nurse, and they're incredibly good at supporting and providing really good care all the way along that way. Whether that Admiral nurse will be aware of sight loss, I don't know, and that's something we've pushed on to say this should happen. Connecting those things up, I think, is really important. And you know, Paul's talking about, you know, making sure people have cataract operations, etc. But and then how we get that person back out into the community to talk to their optometrist to actually get the feedback and working how well the eyes are working after that cataract operation isn't done in the hospital generally these days. It's done outside, because hospitals are scary places, immaterial of who you are. But that actually moves us on slightly, doesn't it, to the work that you've done with Paul with dementia and sight loss in the hospital. So I think
are we talking about the quality standards?
Yes.
Do you want to explain more about those, Paul?
Yeah. So we were tasked by the College of Ophthalmologists to produce some quality standards about people coming into an eye clinic who've got dementia. Mm. So we spent about 18 months. One of those things that once you start doing it becomes bigger and bigger. But we produced, I think, seven quality standards in the end, which cover ways that hospitals can look at the provision of care they have within their eye clinic for people who come in with dementia. And it gives them an ability to benchmark it. So, well, I can see this is not as good as it should be, and we can improve this element to it. Or that's actually pretty good, and we're doing the right thing there, and it gives us reassurance that we're doing a good level of care. So it's about how you train the staff to be aware of a patient who's got dementia is coming into a busy clinic. I mean, eye clinics are notoriously hurly-burly places with a lot of noise and action. And patients with dementia are often very vulnerable in those situations. They need if you've got sight impairment and dementia, a noisy, busy clinic is difficult. There's lots of ways you can have the physical design of the environment they're in. So you can make it more user-friendly. It's about how you signpost patients with dementia and sight loss to other parts of the care pathway, particularly within the hospital or within the community. About working with the ECLOs. You can't run and these sorts of things without them.
Can you explain what an ECLO is for those who don't know?
An eye clinic liaison officer is an ECLO, and they are wonderful, wonderful things and people. They are individuals who come into the eye clinic and who help with someone who's got a diagnosis and doesn't have to have dementia and sight loss, but anything really, about making sure they're signposted and helped and supported in all the different elements of their care. If they've been given a certificate of visual impairment, or they need to access some charity support work, or they need to discuss their diagnosis and being given literature on the matter, they're there to take an individual and help them with all these different elements to their care that sometimes the nurse and doctors don't have the time and the ability to provide that for them.
I would just to back that up, and obviously there's a campaign ongoing that Action for Blind People are doing, which is to get an ECLO in each eye clinic, which of course we very much support within Vision 2020 UK. We're very aware that people very busy ophthalmologists simply don't have the time to actually go through a diagnosis with somebody to the extent that they can also support them emotionally on that journey, and how big a piece of news that is to somebody that they're going to lose their sight. And so ECLOs are incredibly important for that sort of thing, but also for that general support, because they can also signpost towards things like the Admiral Nurses and various other things, not necessarily just within the eye clinic, but outside in the general hospital, to say, are you aware of the support you can get out there? Because it's very hard when you've been diagnosed with something like that, especially if you're an older person and potentially on your own, to know where on earth to go for those sort of bits and pieces of information. Within the eye world that we're in here, we might know all sorts of different places you can go, but for the person out there who's never dealt with health or social care in their lives, how on earth can they tell? So an ECLO is a key part of that.
So going back to your eye clinics in the hospitals, and I've noticed one of the quality standards is to support people with dementia to live well. Mm. How do you do that from a hospital setting?
Well, eye health is important to live well. I mean, if you can't see, you're going to fall over and break your hip. So that's how you support people to live well, is to signpost them, to raise awareness, to ensure that they're as much as possible helped and plugged into all the different care pathways that exist within both community and hospital care for them. I think as well, one of the other things about living well is your support network. And if you have, usually it's a spouse, but sometimes it's a member of the family or a friend who's supporting or living with a patient with dementia and sight loss. And part of our quality standards and part of our sort of understanding of this is that they are vital in this. And supporting the carer is sometimes as important, if not more important, than supporting the individual, because if the carer can't cope, then everything falls apart. Yeah. So supporting the carer is a very important part of this, and that's a big part of the quality standards and helping people to live well in the community.
I presume you've got United support for the quality standards. How are you succeeding in disseminating those out to all eye health professionals and hospitals and the relevant people?
So they were drafted and written by us as a multidisciplinary group within Vision 2020. So that was all sorts of different individuals, from optometrists, the College of Optometrists, to Thomas Pocklington, to Alzheimer's UK, to Vision 2020 and College of Optometrists. We all got together and created these. And then they were sent to the two committees within the College of Optometrists. First of all, the Professional Standards Committee. So some very eminent UK ophthalmologists went through it. And then also the lay committee. So the College of Ophthalmologists have a lay committee who very kindly went through it and added their own parts to it. And there was a few people within the wider dementia community who looked at it. It's now on the... we then had a launch of it once it had all been signed off and agreed and finalised. And we had a launch with press releases produced by Vision 2020 and the College of Ophthalmologists. It's available publicly on the Vision 2020 and the Royal College of Ophthalmologists website, and it's been downloaded, I think, over 120 times for individual departments to use in the first few months of it being out there. So
do you see that as a toolkit of resources that will finally get round to all high hospitals and other relevant places?
Oh, certainly the idea, absolutely. I mean, and the downloads is great. I mean, we know it's gone out there, and I think it was people recognised the fact that there wasn't anything before. That's the key thing. We didn't have anything about it, and I think that's really useful that we've actually put that resource out there. And obviously, yes, it was. Paul talked about it at our Dementia and Sight Loss conference in Birmingham. It's been out. I know the Royal College have promoted it quite heartily in various different formats on their newsletters, etc. So I think the hospital eye departments are very busy. We're very aware of that. But I think there's a lot of people have been very interested in it. I certainly was speaking to an ophthalmologist from Leeds the other day who said it's certainly been talked about in some of their committees and things. So it's definitely there. And I think that's incredibly important, because in general we didn't talk about it before. And now even if we... talking about it, that's got to be a step forward.
Obviously, sometimes the route to health care and support is through the family's GP. What involvement have families, GPs and GP practices in general had in becoming aware of dementia and the relationship with sight loss?
We have a representative from the Royal College of GPs on our Dementia and Sight Loss Committee now, which is great. Getting buy-in from GPs has always been a bit more difficult, because that split about who does the primary care of somebody with eyes has always been a difficult process. You know, people go to their GPs and really it's the optometrist in the high street who should be dealing with them. And obviously there is the referral onwards. I think that's something we definitely need to work on more in the future, is getting more GPs involved. Obviously the UK Vision Strategy team have done a great job on bringing on, getting the eye care onto the GP's agenda and having it last year and the year before as a priority for them. We're very aware that Dr. Wakashar does some excellent stuff out there, who's a GP as well. But I think we certainly need to work harder on getting the general aspect of it onto the GP's agenda.
What can family and friends relationships do to support people with dementia and vision impairment? You know, they've clearly been established that they've got a problem with their eyesight, and clearly they've got a degree of dementia. What practical help is there on a day-to-day basis to support those people?
I think if you listen to the podcast and you are looking after someone with dementia and sight loss, there's an awful lot you can do. I think I've alluded to this earlier. Awareness is the key to it. Mm. Understanding that, okay, this is an issue that is there and that I can do something about. There's various things you can do. First of all, making sure that someone who's got sight loss and dementia gets to an optometrist every year. Mm-hmm. I think if you do that, you're in with a shout. If anything needs fixing, well, you'll get started. But they don't go to the optometrist, it doesn't tend to happen. So ensuring that they've had it done every year. It's a bit like getting your hearing tested and mm-hmm. their blood pressure tested. Just get your eyes checked to the optometrist every year. The other things you can do is that people need to wear their appropriate pair of glasses. So knowing which are the distance glasses and which are the reading glasses, and making sure that the right pair are at the right time and actually on, yes. And are up to date is again a very simple but a very effective intervention that everybody can do. If you are, there are general things about sight loss that you can apply in terms of the environment. Making sure you've got good lighting. Mm-hmm. Very good lighting is a key to be able to cope with poor vision. Again, looking at how the environment of the home that someone lives in is set out so that there's reasonably high contrast. So if you give someone a plate, it's not the same colour as the table that they're on, then they can't see it. Or that there is reasonably good contrast with doorways and you know where things are. Excessive noise. If you can't see very well and you've got dementia, then funny noises is going to be quite scary. And a lot of these people have got what is called multisensory deprivation. So they've got hearing problems, dementia, and sight problems. It's, you know, the triumvirate. Mm-hmm. So those are relatively straightforward, simple things that if you're caring for someone with dementia, you can do. So you can get to the optometrist, sort out the correct pair of glasses to wear at the correct time, and make sure that the environment is as user-friendly for someone with low vision in terms of lighting and clutter and contrast as you can for them.
And that's a specialist area, isn't it, Matt, in terms of sometimes making sure that those colours and those contrasts and that lighting is appropriate. So is this where the rehabilitation specialists step in and support?
Absolutely. And I think that's exactly what their training is all about, and actually understanding mobility issues for people with dementia and sight loss, and also understanding all the things Paul's just said about contrast and colour and shape and size. It's also, though, I mean, more holistically, it's about understanding that the carer and the person with dementia and sight loss both need support. So I think it's also understanding there are support groups out there that you can join. You can find an awful lot about them on the Alzheimer's Society website and places like that. Because sometimes, actually, you need that extra emotional support to keep going. It's a very hard job being a carer for somebody with dementia and sight loss. And I think, actually, that extra bit of support can be very incredibly useful. And not just for the carers, but also for the person with dementia and sight loss. You're not alone. There's an awful lot of people out there with these same conditions, and sometimes it can feel incredibly lonely.
And lastly, if people have listened to this podcast and want to know more, are there any quick fixes in terms of routes you can send them to get more information?
I would say if you go to our website, www.vision2020uk.org.uk, and you go to the special groups, there's a Dementia and Sight Loss Committee, which is us, and there are useful leaflets on there about wearing your glasses in dementia and getting your eyes tested and dementia. And also go to the Alzheimer's Society website. They have an awful lot of useful resources. There are various places around. And if you're interested in doing this online course, and you go to a place called Future Learn and look up Faces of Dementia, it's a very interesting online course to do. It's free, and it would give you a lot of education about these various different aspects.
Anything you add to that, Paul?
I think that sums up most of it. So the Dementia and Sight Loss Committee website, mm-hmm. on Vision 2020. You can just Google it and find that.
Yep.
the Alzheimer's Society, either their website or the Alzheimer's Society, or your nurse that's looking after you and helping you, your Nightingale nurse. The RNIB website is quite good. There's a lot of stuff on that.
That's www.rnib.org.uk.
And there's a whole dementia piece on there,
And yeah, so those are the main places online you can find. If you're not going to go online, then just talking to the local community Alzheimer's groups that you're part of, you'll be part of a support network, I'm sure, either through your GP or through social care and the carers. And I'm sure that there's, that's the place you should talk.
If you're not tied into any of those networks, your GP should be your first port of call to start that process.
And there's the GPs, obviously, definitely your first port of call. But coming back to rehab officers and also occupational therapists, I've got all these links as well. And you might well be seen by an OT who can come around your house to see how your mobility is and things like that. But the rehab officer certainly is very key in this, because they will have those contacts and also enable you, hopefully, not to fall, which is quite a big, going back to the falls problem, because I think it kills people in the end, doesn't it?
You don't want to fall in that dimension.
Paul Ursell, Matt Broome, thanks for your time.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, cheers. John.
Vision 2020 UK.
For more information about this podcast, Vision 2020 UK and its members, get in touch via email
info@vision2020uk.org.uk,
on Twitter
@vision2020uk,
or via our website
www.vision2020uk.org.uk.
Produced by me, John Wellsman, at Sparrow's Rest.